جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة هود عليه السلام verses 92 through 95 إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال يا قوم أرهطي أعز عليكم من الله واتخذتموه وراءكم ظهريا إن ربي بما تعملون محيط. ويا قوم اعملوا على مكانتكم إني عامل سوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه ومن هو كاذب وارتقبوا إني معكم رقيب. ولما جاء أمرنا نجينا شعيبا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا وأخذت الذين ظلموا الصيحة فأصبحوا في ديارهم جاثمين كأن لم يغنوا فيها ألا بعدا لمدين كما بعدت ثمود. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In this session we will conclude the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam, Jethro, with his people of Midian. And then next week, inshallah, we begin another story in the Quran. In this chapter, Surah Hud, there are different and various stories of the prophets and their fates and the fate of their nations and their communities. And from previous sessions, we realized that this community also, who was very economically and financially very affluent and very prosperous, they had good businesses, good jobs. The land was very fertile, very lush, very green. But they did not have manners. They lacked akhlaq. Their conscience was not alive. So despite having money and having good economy and their bank account was full of money, but still their businesses were not clean. They would not conduct a clean business. So when they rejected Shu'aib and they rejected his call times after times, then he says to them in verse 92, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَحْطِي أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Because they said to him, listen Shu'aib, if you don't stop, we will punish you. And actually we intend to punish you if it wasn't for your family. If it wasn't that you have a family who are defending you and supporting you and shielding you, we would have stoned you. But because you have a family, we don't do this. Your family is protecting you. And I mentioned last week, your family is your first support. If you don't have a family, you don't have support. Sometimes people, they do not hurt you, not because of you, because of your family, because you have a family, especially in the tribal communities, in countries where the tribe, the clan, the family, they stand with their children, like the Arab community and other communities, not just the Arab, other communities too. When you have a family, they consider you to be strong. If you're lonely, if you are lonely, you don't have a family, nobody will care about you. Some people, they don't fear God. They fear your family. And this is exactly what the people of Shu'aib are telling him. They are telling him, if it wasn't for your family, we would have stoned you and kicked you out of this community. So Shu'aib is answering them. He's saying, is my family mightier over you than God? You don't consider God. You don't fear God. You fear my family? My family are mightier than God? قَالَ يَا رَحْطِي قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَحْطِي My family أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ They are mightier. You fear my family, but you don't fear God? This is the case. In many societies, even today, some people, they don't fear God, but they fear people. What if people see me? What if people hear me? What people are going to say about me? They don't fear God. Whereas if people fear God, we are not going to have a problems. If people fear God and consider God, we are not going to have injustice or abuse or oppression. I remember the story of the man who came to Imam Hussein and he said, I have a daughter, only one daughter. She is very precious to me. And I am worried about her marriage, her future. I am worried if someone marries her, he would abuse her. He would hurt her. So tell me what to do. Imam gave him this beautiful advice. He said to him, زوجها ممن يتق الله تعالى. If you fear for the safety and the future of your daughter, then only give her to marriage to someone who fears God. If he fears God, he is not going to hurt your daughter. She's going to be safe. If that person has the fear of God in his heart, he has reverence for God, he is pious, he sees God before he sees anything else, then your daughter is going to be safe. He's not going to hurt her. This is the result of taqwa and piety. When you are pious and righteous, you are not going to hurt anyone. All people are going to feel safe around you, being with you. But if God is absent, you may expect anything to happen. Anything. Any type of abuse will happen if God is absent from the hearts. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِي أَرَهْطِ أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُ وَرَاءَكُمْ ظِهْرِيًّا Yet, you would put your God, you would put God behind you, you cast him behind you. وَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُ وَرَاءَكُمْ ظِهْرِيًّا إِنَّ رَبِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ You put God behind you. You don't care about God. You are telling me you're going to hit me and attack me because I have a family. But you don't look at God. God is more important than the family. The real defender is not the family. The real defender is God. The real protector is God, not the family. So you put God behind you in with disregard. Surely my Lord encompasses Muhit. Whatsoever you do, he sees, he watches. God is not absent. You think he's absent, but he is watching you. Everything you do, every sentence you say, he's recording that. Be careful. إِنَّ رَبِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ وَيَا قَوْمِ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ So this confrontation comes to a deadlock. There is no way out of this. They are not going to listen to him. The arrogance reaches a point with some people that their ears become deaf. Their eyes become blind. They don't see, they don't hear, they don't understand, they don't understand logic. They become completely shut off. So here, he has to have a stand, he has to have a warning. Prophets came to teach, to refine, to educate, to remind us, and also to be a source of warning for us. A source of warning. And this is what he did. This is exactly what he said to his community. He was warning them and also threatening them. وَيَا قَوْمِ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ O my people, act according to your position, according to your character. I am going to act according to my character and my position too. What does that mean? One day, Jesus was walking with his disciples, so someone approached him, and he cursed him, and he cursed his disciples. 2 minutes later, after that, another person came, and he praised him. So the disciples said, what is going on? One person curses us, the other one compliments us. What is happening? Jesus said a sentence. He said, كُلٌّ يُنْفِقُ مِمَّا عِنْدَهُ Each person acts according to his personality and his character. The one who cursed us, he is acting according to his own character. His character is evil. The one who praised us and thanked us, he's acting according to his character, his personality. كُلٌّ يُنْفِقُ مِمَّا عِنْدَهُ So look at what you have. If you have good character, then your conduct, your behavior, even your thinking of people is going to be good. But if a person has a bad character, bad base, a bad engine is not going to produce something good. This is a theory in the Quran. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبْ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ The community, the environment, the family, the person which is tayyib, fresh, good, is going to give good produce. وَالَّذِي خَبُثْ The evil one, لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا The evil one would not produce other than evil too. So Shu'aib is saying, okay, you don't want to listen to me? Act according to your character. And I'm going to act according to my character. And we will see what happens soon. We will see what happens. سوف تعلمون Soon you will know. من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه من يأتيه Soon you shall know upon whom there comes a punishment that يخزيه disgraces him. And who is a liar? من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه ومن هو كاذب وارتقبوا وَارْتَقِبُوا So keep watch. وَارْتَقِبُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ رَقِيبُ I'm going to keep watching too. Wait and see what will happen. وَكُلُّ إِنَاءٍ بِالَّذِي فِيهِ يَنْضَحُ We all, my friends, don't be surprised. Believe me, don't be surprised. Sometimes in one day, in one hour, in one place, you meet two types of people. Some of them are good, with good behavior, with honorable character, and some of them are bad. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't judge the whole society as being bad if one person did something bad to you. Don't generalize. Neither if someone does good to you, say all of them are good. No. We expect anything. Some people go to a country and then at the airport someone mistreats them. Maybe the taxi driver, maybe the immigration officer. They come back and they characterize the whole society as being thieves. Those are thieves. Maybe that society is 50 million people, 90 million, 120 million. Because of one taxi driver, so the whole nation becomes thief. No, that's not right. That's not right. Maybe there are others who are good. Maybe you had a bad luck. So in every society, in every community, in every family, there are good and bad. There are good people and bad people. And sometimes the good person sometimes acts badly because of mistakes and faults and deficiencies. We are not perfect. Sometimes we have good days, sometimes we have bad days. If your wife gives you good breakfast in the morning, you're going to have a good day. You're going to smile. You're going to go to work smiling, healthy, you know. But if you have an argument early morning, then the whole day, not the whole day, the whole month is ruined, alhamdulillah. The same answer was given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Quraysh, to people of Mecca, in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 135. The Prophet says exactly what Shu'aib said to his community in Madian. The Prophet said to the people of Mecca. What did he say to them? قُلْ يَا قَوْمِ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ تَكُونُ لَهُ عَاقِبَةُ الدَّارِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ When Quraysh, they kept rejecting the Prophet said, okay, do what you want to do according to your character. And I'm going to act according to my character. Soon you will see the ending of both. مَنْ تَكُونُ لَهُ عَاقِبَةُ الدَّارِ Who's going to win? Soon you're going to see. And that happens for many societies who reject. Then the Prophet at that time, at the end, he says, okay, let's wait and see what will happen. A day, there is a day of reckoning, my friends. My friends, every act we commit, every act we practice, there is a reaction for it. And there are two results. One result is dunyawi here, earthly result. You see that result. You see the result of your patience in this dunya, not just the akhirah. The akhirah is the second result, is the everlasting result. But the first result, the recipe of that result, you're going to see it here in the dunya, the appetizer. They give you the appetizer here, and the main course where? In the akhirah. But we see the results of our deeds and misdeeds, both in this life. We're going to see it because there is a strict system of justice. There is a strict system of justice introduced by God for the entire universe. God would not let any crime go without punishment. I feel sorry for Jamal Khashoggi, the way they murdered him and they cut him into pieces. But Jamal Khashoggi, unfortunately, was sectarian. You know how many interviews I heard him cursing the Shia? I heard him myself. People don't know about this. And how many times I heard him praising the king and MBS, Muhammad bin Salman. Even until before his death, Sumuul Amir, His Highness Muhammad bin Salman. See? He was standing with the government. I feel sorry for the way he was murdered. I reject that. This is not fair to kill someone who wants to speak his mind. But this person, unfortunately, he did not have a clean record. He stood for many years with the regime, praising the regime, helping the regime, until 2 years ago he decided to leave, or 1 year ago. Any person would receive anything we do in this life. God says there are two courts, the lower court in this dunya, and the upper court is there. And we cannot escape, none of them. No one can escape both courts, the lower and the upper, the higher. And then we go to 94. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ When the command came, God pushes the button. There is a button. that God pushes. And then when he pushes that button, nobody can stop that. Nobody can intercept the punishment. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا When our command came, we نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبًا We saved Shu'aib and those who believed with him. The few people who believed with him were saved. وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةِ And the cry seized those who did wrong. ظَلَمُوا The cry did seize them. فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ أَصْبَحُوا means in the morning. صباح, the morning. What happened for them? In the morning, they became lifeless in their homes. They woke up lifeless, dead in their abode, in their homes. And then I will say what happened to them exactly. But Quran uses two terms. One term, he uses the cry, sayha, powerful bang. Powerful that kills people. What sort of noise is this? I really don't know. But Allah says, with my divine mercy, I save who did good. I save the believers. Now, some people say, I'm worried. I live, one, a friend was telling me, I live in Las Vegas. And I work there. This is my business. This is my home, my family. You know, this is where I found a place to live and work. But I am unhappy and I am worried living in this so-called nicknamed Sin City. I am worried one day Adab will arrive and this punishment is going to encompass me. I read for him this verse in the Quran. I said, no. See, God says about Salih, about Hud, about Shu'aib, about others, that about Nuh, that there were a few people who believed with them. They rejected oppression and injustice, and God saved them. God is not indiscriminate. His punishment, sometimes, you know, some people, they send their jet fighters and they bomb indiscriminately. So they kill people who are guilty and people who are innocent. This morning, F-15, American F-15 jet fighters, they bombed their allies in Syria. This morning, if you follow the news, they bombed their allies. They trained them, the Kurds, they trained them to work against Bashar al-Assad. But this morning they send them a gift, good breakfast. Many of them were killed. And then they apologize. Very easy for the spokesperson to come and say, well, we apologize, we are sorry, and we will compensate, we will investigate, we will do this, this. But God's punishment is not indiscriminate. God knows. God would not send his punishment on a family, on a community which did not do wrong. He would not do that. He would not do that and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Jibreel didn't know his way. Israel didn't, you know, this. No, he wouldn't say that. God says, those believers, we save them. We make sure that they are not hurt. And this is why Allah asked those anbiya to take those believers with them, get out of the city. Before the punishment arrives, God will give them a signal. Leave the city, leave this community, leave this town, leave it. I remember there was, this has nothing to do with punishment. The hurricane that came to Houston, Texas, I was in Karbala. Someone called me and he said, Sayyid, I have an urgent need. I need an istikhara. Urgently. So when I saw urgent, then I had to act immediately. I was sitting next to my father, so I said, it's better my father takes the istikhara. I gave him, I said, Daddy, someone in Houston wants istikhara. So he took the istikhara, it came good. So I called the guy and said, the istikhara is good. I don't know why he took the istikhara. 2 weeks later, he showed me his house was submerged in water. 6 feet. Can you imagine? 6 feet. He sent me the picture. He said, I decided to stay with my family because of the hurricane. I said, well, our area is safe. So I last minute I said, let me consult God. Take an istikhara. So I called you. And I said to him, by the way, it was not my istikhara, it was my father's istikhara. So if it is good, it saved you, you have to thank Allah and my father, not me. He says, when the istikhara came good, I took my family and we ran away. And we took a flight from another city, I think Dallas or somewhere. And a few hours later, imagine, not a few days, few hours later, the water reached our, neighborhood, and the house was submerged in water, up to 6 feet. Allah saves those who are good, so don't worry. Don't worry, whether you live in Las Vegas, in Paris, in Khorramabad, in wherever. Don't worry. As long as you are doing well, you are doing good, you are not sinning, Allah will save. Allah will save His servants. وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. But those who committed sin and insisted on committing sin, the cry overtook them. So they, in the morning, they were lifeless in their abodes, in their dwellings, in their homes, in their communities. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا. This is 95. Look at the description of the Quran, of how they died, how they perished. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا. As if they had never dwelt there. When you come across them, you can't imagine that a few hours ago there were some people living in this house, in this neighborhood, in this street. Can you see sometimes on television? They show you before the hurricane and after the hurricane, before the flood and after the flood, before the earthquake and after. You see pictures. When you look at that neighborhood, wow, people lived here in these homes? I can't imagine. Total destruction. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا, Allah says. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا, as if they have never lived there. أَلَا بُعْدًا لِمَدْيَنْ. They were so thoroughly effaced and destroyed by this earthquake that when someone comes, he thinks that there were no homes here, no structures here. Complete destruction. أَلَا بُعْدًا لِمَدْيَنَ كَمَا بَعُدَتْ ثَمُودٍ. أَلَا means behold. Behold, away with Madian. When they reject our invitation, they keep rejecting, they ridicule our prophets, they don't take us serious, they keep sinning, they keep their crimes, their violations, then they are away from my mercy. بُعْدًا, it means away. Away from my mercy. My mercy is not going to encompass them, include them. كَمَا بَعُدَتْ ثَمُودِ, just as Thamud was done away. Now, some people ask, Sayyid, where is Allah Arhamur Rahimeen, merciful, compassionate? You are telling us about earthquake and the cry, seize them and destruction and this and death. When we go to the church, the pastor speaks about love, compassion, cookies, good things, Why do we hear about death in the Quran and threats? And in fact, in the Quran, there are plenty of verses that speaks about mercy and forgiveness. And the number of verses that speaks about mercy and compassion and forgiveness far surpasses those that speak about punishment. We begin every sentence of the Quran by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Every sentence. Most of our du'as, supplications, speak about mercy. Allahumma an yas'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. Plenty of verses that speaks. In fact, we have a whole chapter called Surah At-Tawbah, repentance. Invites people to repent. Those sinners. God says if people are serious, even if they have done tons and tons of sins, tons and tons, I can forgive them in 10 minutes, in 5 minutes, if they are sincere, if they are really sincere. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. God is willing to forgive all sins. Do not be despondent. Do not say I have tons and tons and tons of sins and God is never going to forgive me. Don't say that. Don't ever say that. You may give up on anything except God's forgiveness. Don't give up on God's forgiveness. كتب ربكم على نفسه الرحمة. God says, I made it mandatory upon me to forgive you, to be merciful to you. So verses that speaks about mercy and forgiveness are much greater. But sometimes we need some verses of warning and punishment, my friends. This is our nature. Because if God always speaks, you know, in the church when you go, every single Sunday the pastor speaks about love and, you know, Jesus loves you. And this is why people leave the church and they commit sins. They commit sins, all sorts of sins, thinking that by just going to the church, by just listening to the name Jesus, Jesus is going to forgive me. This is not right. Jesus and Muhammad and Moses, they came to teach people discipline, to teach them to respect the law. We cannot just, by just saying, Ya Allah, God is willing to forgive my sins, and then the following day I do same sin again and again and again and again. This is not good. I need someone to warn me, to wake me up, to shake my foundations. Do you see sometimes on the carpool here, what do you see there, the sign about violating the carpool rules? What is the fine? You see the fine, do you remember? Now they made it $495. $495 if you violate carpool, one violation. If you do twice, you go in and out like I do sometimes. So why? So to remind people that this is the penalty. See, if you do this, you must pay this penalty. And that sign makes many people, 99% of them, they don't do this violation because of the sign, because of the warning, because of the punishment. Severe punishment. Nobody can pay $500 as a violation, as a, you know, for the ticket. So they don't, not because they love the law, no, but because they fear the punishment. God says sometimes some people don't understand logic. I have to speak to them in this tone because they fear punishment. And punishment and threats are one of the ways, not the entire way, but one of the ways of tarbiyah, of teaching people discipline, teaching people how to go back to Allah. Sometimes when we have a funeral, I speak about death and a grave, the darkness, the loneliness. Believe me, some people come to me, they say, Sayyid, you woke me up today. I was absent. I didn't know about this. I didn't take death serious. I didn't take the akhirah serious. So you have to remind. You have to remind people. These are not fairy tales. So Quran is not about to instill fear in your heart. No. Quran is a book of logic. Quran sends good invitations and he expects you to respond. But with mu'anideen, only mu'anideen. Those who are defying God. Those who are persistent in their sins. Those who do not listen. Those who reject. Rejectors. Mu'anid means rejector. Then you have to speak harsh with that person. To shake him, to wake him up, to tell him this is serious. It's not only milk and honey, you know, forgiveness and hur al-ain and this and so. Do whatever you want to do. Just come to the masjid and say, Ya Allah. No, there is huquq al-nas. You have to be careful. The hadith says, don't belittle any sin. فَلَعَلَّ فِيهِ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Sometimes we commit sins. We say, this sin is okay, this is a small, this is little, this is nothing, this is forgivable. Don't say. Maybe this one that you look at it as being little, small, forgivable, God says, no, I'm not going to forgive this. I'm not happy with you. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. As you heard Haj Samir, inshallah we are collecting Aya, his name? No, Aya Malakuti. Malakuti is collecting the money for the 40, inshallah, outside. And inshallah, the majalis of 40 are going to be 3 nights here, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, October 27th, 28th, and 29th. Monday is the day of 40. October 29th is the actual day of 40. So we're going to have 3 nights, inshallah. And tomorrow, Friday, October 19th, we're going to have kids' club here. Kids' club. They bring kids from the ages of 8 until 12. 8 to 12, bring them here because Haj Robert Turfi, very good speaker, very good example for our youth, is going to speak tomorrow at 6:30, inshallah. So bring your kids here. And on Saturday, there is Tafsir al-Quran for the youth, the young generation, that begins at 6:45 with the Salat, inshallah, on Saturday. So we have two programs, Friday night for the kids, and Saturday night for the youth, inshallah, and Salat al-Jum'ah for everybody, inshallah. Tomorrow we begin at 1 p.m. And here we say, Ma'a salama, Khuda Hafiz, to our honorable brother Haj Samir Amiri. He's going to Karbala tomorrow, inshallah, for Ziyarat al-Arba'een. And he will remember us in his dua, in his prayers at the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, salamullahi alayhi. Good for him, good for you, Haj Samir. I wish we can join you walking from Najaf to Karbala. Please remember us in your dua, and you come back, inshallah, safe and sound, inshallah. And Ali Muhammad, Ali Muhammadi is one of the best youth. Can you stand, Ali Muhammadi? May Allah bless him. Say salawat for him. MashaAllah. I love those who are honest, believe me. I love them. All of you are honest, but this guy is young, you know. I love him. May Allah bless him, inshallah, and bless this masjid. And we have the best community, the best family. You know, I travel many places in the world, but my community is my sweetheart, you know. My favorite is my community, my people here, the families that I see from different backgrounds, different languages. Sister Hannah, she brings her son Hassan. How old is he, Hassan? Where is Mujahid, the father? The father is outside. How old is Hassan? 7 months, mashallah. He was listening to my lectures when he was in his mother's tummy, you know. So he's used to these lectures. May Allah bless Sister Hannah and her family and each and every one of you, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin wa ajjil farajahum. اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية فك أسرانا وسجنائنا اقض حوائجنا اغفر ذنوبنا ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة الحسين وفي الآخرة شفاعة الحسين وجد الحسين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا وإمامنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.